With SDPB News, I'm John Wynn. A bill advancing in the legislature restricts the ability of conservation officers to enter private land. SDPB's Seth Tupper reports.
Governor Kristi Noem's administration introduced the bill. It says officers from the Department of Game, Fish, and Parks would need permission to go on privately owned land. There are exceptions in the bill. They would allow conservation officers to enter private land without permission if they suspect criminal activity, observe a crippled or distressed animal, or get called out to an emergency or accident. Republican Representative Liz May of Kyle supports the bill. She says some landowners are tired of officers entering their property without permission.
The landowners, that's all they really ever wanted, is just some respect.
The bill places limits on a decades-old legal standard called the Open Fields Doctrine. The doctrine is based on a U.S. Supreme Court decision. It says law enforcement officers may enter open fields without permission or a warrant in pursuit of their duties. Critics of the South Dakota legislation say it opens the door to poaching and other hunting and fishing violations on private land. Republican Representative David Anderson of Hudson opposes the legislation. He says he relies on conservation officers to keep trespassing hunters off his property.
I'm in favor of the conservation officer looking out for me. He's the one that could rightly go on and ask to see licenses, ask if there's permission. I'm not there all the time.
The House passed the bill 41-28. It now goes to the Senate. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Seth Tupper.
Legislative coverage is brought to you by the South Dakota Bar Foundation, SDN Communications, Missouri River Energy Services, Touchmark Retirement Communities, the Boyce Law Firm, and the Friends of SDPB.
Republican Senator John Thune is criticizing activists and party leaders for engaging in cancel culture by rushing to censure GOP senators for voting to convict former President Donald Trump at his impeachment trial. The Senate's number two Republican says although he voted to acquit Trump last week, Republicans who found him guilty of inciting the attack on the U.S. Capitol should not be censured for taking a vote of conscience. Thune's remarks come as the GOP looks for a path back to majorities in the House and Senate while grappling with Trump's enduring hold on the party. Attorney General Jason Roundsburg will face three misdemeanor charges for his role in the fatal car versus pedestrian crash that took place last summer. The crash killed Highmore resident Joe Beaver. SDPB's Lee Strubinger has more.
The counts are careless driving, a lane violation, and operating a motor vehicle while using a mobile device. The charges don't allege criminal intent. Prosecutors stress Attorney General Roundsburg was not using his cell phone during the point of impact, but about a minute before. They say a blood alcohol test showed Roundsburg was not intoxicated while driving. Because he was not intoxicated, prosecutors could not pursue vehicular homicide. The state does not have a negligent homicide law on the books. Michael Moore is the state's attorney for Beadle County.
When we don't have a negligent homicide law in this state, we're faced with recklessness. And recklessness is an extremely high burden for us to establish. And in this case, we don't have it. And I don't feel good about it, but it's the right decision.
A spokesperson for the Attorney General says Roundsburg is not planning on resigning and that he's not been given the serving documents yet. The victim, Joe Beaver, was walking on the shoulder at the time of the accident and was found on the side of the road the morning after the collision. His cousin says he's disappointed. Nick Nemec says he's not surprised about the charges brought against the Attorney General.
According to state law, if nobody sees you and you see a pedestrian and you're not drunk, you can run over them and get away with a misdemeanor charge. And that's what state law allows for. And so it doesn't matter if Roundsburg saw Joe or not.
Governor Kristi Noem says she's not going to comment on Hyde County Deputy State's Attorney Emily Sovel's decision. Noem says she's directing the Department of Public Safety to share additional details of the investigation within the next week. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Lee Strubinger in Pierre.
The South Dakota Supreme Court has upheld the conviction of a Rapid City man who asked a friend for a gun so he could kill his late wife's doctor. In his appeal, William Toman held that state law does not support a criminal charge for his specific actions, but the high court says otherwise. Victoria Wicks reports on this case for SDPB.
William Toman contends that the charge of solicitation requires an object crime. If someone tries to hire a hitman, for instance, murder is the object. In Toman's case, he asked a friend where he could get an untraceable gun so he himself could commit murder. And so he was asking his friend to aid and abet a murder. Toman holds that since he himself did not actually take steps toward committing murder, there is nothing to aid and abet, and so he solicited nothing. In the Supreme Court's opinion, now retired Chief Justice David Gilbertson analyzes current state statutes that were created to plug holes in previous laws that might have supported Toman's defense. Current state law says the mere act of asking is a crime, and so Toman committed a crime when he asked his friend to help him find a gun. Toman says current statutes blur the line between solicitation and aiding and abetting, but the high court disagrees. In this case, Gilbertson writes, when Toman asked his friend for a gun so he could shoot the doctor, Toman committed a crime. If the friend had found him a gun and Toman used it to commit murder, the friend would be guilty of aiding and abetting. In other words, Gilbertson says solicitation occurs before the object crime and aiding and abetting occurs during its completion. Toman also objected to testimony at trial from his late wife's doctor, who told the jury about his emotional suffering after learning of Toman's actions. The Supreme Court agrees that this portion of the doctor's testimony is not relevant to determining Toman's state of mind. Law enforcement had been alerted after Toman tried to get the gun, and officers then told the doctor, and so Toman committed solicitation before the doctor learned of it. However, the Supreme Court says the state had enough factual evidence against Toman to get a conviction, and so the doctor's irrelevant testimony was harmless error. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Victoria Wicks.
That's your daily news update. Follow SDPB News on social and visit sdpb.org/news to keep up with our journalism as it comes in. Thank you for listening.